we're going to be baptized. And so it'd be good to know a little bit about what that means and what we're doing. And to start with that, I want to read Romans chapter 6. And I'm going to start with verse 6. It says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Jesus was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. For the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your bodies to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." Those words talk about the essence of what happens here. We go in and we go down into the water, and in some ways, in doing that, it's very much a picture of that we drown, we die, we offer our lives, we join death, we die to what we've been. And then as we come out, we acknowledge that we're resurrected, that we're lifted up again, that we're made new and clean and right, and we become that which we're supposed to be and that which God has called us to be. And so we're no longer slaves to sin. Now, I know that most of the people who are being baptized tonight are kids, and sometimes when you're a kid, you kind of have kind of a weird idea what sin might be. But let me tell you, sin is just rampant in what we do, right? We sin all the time. We don't like people at school. We cheat a little bit, or we lie to our parents. That's a biggie. We don't let on, but we don't tell the truth. And those are sins. Those are things that we kind of do. And when in the Bible, when it's talking about this, what we're really saying is, you know what? I don't really have a choice but to sin. All of us are born in sin. We're born to do that. That's what we do. We inherit our great-grandparents' sin, the sin of our fathers, the sin of the first father, Adam and Eve, gets visited all the way down to us, and we're born in sin. And then this really cool thing happens. God comes, and he sends Jesus, and Jesus dies. And when Jesus dies, he takes all of our sin with him, every bit of it. And we claim that. And so as we come up, we say, you know what? I don't have to sin anymore. Now, those of us who know each other and are in each other's lives know that we still mess up. But the passage here says we're not slaves to sin anymore. We're not enslaved to sin. In other words, we don't have to sin. We can actually choose to not sin. We can choose to do the right thing, to do good things, to do things that are honoring to God. And it says that we can offer the parts of our bodies as instruments of righteousness. When we're baptized, we become part of the body of Christ. When you kids are baptized later this evening, you're joining this community of believers. You're joining the church. But the church is simply Jesus' body. Jesus Christ is the head. So the head is the thing that directs the body, right? But the body is what we are. So we become Jesus' hands and his feet, and we become his mouth, and we become his ears, and we become what Jesus wants us to be, and we spend time the rest of our lives, and you kids are young, so you got a long, beautiful life ahead of you, of offering yourselves to God, offering yourselves to Jesus, to simply say, I'm going to do what you want me to do. And that's exciting. To be able to do the things that God wants you to do and to just take pleasure in doing those things. And so that's the invitation tonight. And it says, for sin shall no longer be your master because you're not under law, but under grace. And I love that idea. I love that I'm under grace. That means even when I mess it up, even when I still mess up, even after I've been baptized, because I was baptized years and years and years and years and years and years ago, even though I was once baptized, I still mess up, but God gives grace. God says, you know what? I've forgiven that sin. You don't have to worry about that. I've taken care of that. And when I mess up again, he says, I don't want you to do that, but I've got it covered. I've taken care of it. And that happens over and over again in our lives. So there's great freedom in that, but there's also freedom in the fact that sin's not my master. It doesn't rule me. It's not king over me. I can do good things through Christ who gives me the strength to do them because I'm under grace. Now, do I still keep the law? Sure, but I don't have to keep the law. I keep the rules, but I don't have to keep the rules. I keep them because I know it brings such delight to God, and I'm so excited about what he's done in my life that when I turn around, I say, hey, you know what? God did this amazing thing in my life, and so I want to honor him, and I want to live for him, and I want to do good things, not because I get glory, not because I get praise, not because people like me more when I'm a nice guy, but simply because of what God's done for me. And so we live out the law as an act of gratitude, and we live it out every day, and we do good things. So instead of hating our classmate and not really liking our classmate or hating our brother or being mad or angry or cussing or doing whatever it is, I can do all those things, but I don't want to do them because I know that it doesn't please God. And instead, because I'm under grace, I go look for the kid in class who's really struggling and who's really hurting and who has no friends, and I befriend him because that's what Jesus would do. And I say good things to him and positive things to him because that's what Jesus would do. And so when I go down into this water, when you guys go down into this water, think about that you are letting go of all the sin. The sin is gone. Jesus takes it all. And then as you come back up, think that you now have a new life, a life that you can live completely clean, a fresh start starting today, and you can live it out for the rest of your life, the goodness of who God is. And that you're joining this community, that you're part of this body, that you're really part of this church, and that you matter in this community. I love at the Acts 22, verse 16, it says, and now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. Let's call on his name. Jesus, thank you for rescuing us from our sin. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for giving us this thing that we call baptism, this beautiful sacrament where we enjoy the reality of dying with you, joining our lives with you, but also being resurrected with you and living our lives for you. So, Father, I pray that as we step forward and make this decision, that you would be with each person here, with the parents, with those who are baptizing, those who are baptized, that they would become part of this community. And, Father, later as we belong together, help us to make that decision and then choose to live that out. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.